Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That same process. Who would have thought, mate? We finished 13th last year. We got 110 points in the last round, mate. And now we're fucking previous.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is the AFL Grand Final wrap-up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. But this week, it's a special one because we're only talking about the Grand Final. So I'm sitting here with two Richmond supporters. So, woo! Richie, yes. What is your highlight from the Grand Final?
Well, look, I think probably us winning. I think that would probably be the highlight of everyone's week.
Come on, be more specific.
All right. Now, honestly, most importantly, I think the Grand Final is I got to actually experience the full 3 days of it. Yep. I got the
Monday, Tuesday as well.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped. Honestly, work has been the dream at the moment. Now we did the open training session Friday, followed by Grand Final parade.
You did the whole parade?
We got to there pretty early, and we found good seats right up on the big screen, and then we decided, stuff it. No, there's no point walking 100 meters up to actually see the cars come past. So we just waited for the cars to come to us and, watched it from there. Sat and drank. Well, Dad and my godfather drank all Friday Arvo. And then we got up, did the full day Saturday from 7 a.m.
Now, you even did the longest kick on the Yarra, didn't you?
We did. Oh, wow. We did. It was actually pretty great, again, being there early because, Dad and I wanted to really soak it in.
Yeah. It's not like you're sitting at home reading the paper and just relaxing.
Is that one of the few things we didn't win?
Yeah.
Just long kick?
Yeah, we let us down. We won the sprint. Yeah. That was good. But the longest kick was actually awesome. It was really good them going to the format where they had two kicks each.
Yep.
They could kind of afford to fuck up the first one and then go, do I go with the drop punt? Nah, I'm going to fuck up the second one as well. that was pretty good. But good to see the old bastards, Fev and Dustin Fletcher, come out and dominate. Oh, nice. That was good.
I still say they should have that. I'd rather that than the Grand Final sprint.
I know the Grand Final sprint's
a tradition, but long kick comp is a great idea.
And I like Brian Lake's dedication to the cause and ending up in the lake himself.
That was fantastic, actually. You could kind of see him lining it up on one of the other ones, and you're like, all right, he's going. The sound guys definitely weren't happy with the destroyed microphone.
But as soon as he got to the boat, he knows, I'm going in the water eventually.
Without a doubt.
This is what's happening.
It'd be bloody freezing, though. Not game at all.
And the AIDS. No. The AIDS.
Yeah. Problem. There's definitely syphilis in that river. No chance.
If there wasn't, there is now after Tigers win.
So we're up most of the night Saturday. Not as heavily as some of the Richmond supporters were, but... Then I get a phone call from Dad at 7 a.m. Sunday morning going, oh, I wasn't keen, but fuck it, I really want to go to Punt Road again. So off, jumped on the train Punt Road by 9 o'clock and spent the whole day there again. So yeah, it was awesome. I think it's definitely, people keep asking, how much would you have sold your ticket for? Because I mean, we got offered, 8,000 for the two tickets.
There's no way you'd sell them.
And I was, after that weekend, I'm glad that no money could have made me sell that ticket. So,
See, because I bought a ticket for Dad, because he's obviously a Tiger supporter. And I told him, if you get offered three, you fucking sell it.
it was awesome. I have no words to describe how awesome of a weekend it was.
Brenton, you got your beer of the week?
I drank a lot of beers in the last week. A lot of beers.
Cold and wet is
I mean, I was going to go with the one I'm drinking, which is a Pirate Life collab with Ballast Point, who are an American company.
Well, I think you just did.
Yeah, but Ballast Point, I mean, when they tried to break into the craft beer market in Australia, they actually signed an exclusive deal that their cans can only be sold in Dan Murphy's. That's pretty much alienating the whole craft beer scene that made it fucking something in Australia. So fuck those cunts. Don't buy their beer.
Well, actually, on the Pirate Life,
Pirate Life are great, though.
We were Friday Arvo after the parade.
Yep.
Yeah, we caught up with my godfather who's down from South Australia at the moment.
Oh, right.
He's a Carlton supporter, though, yep. So
yeah, oh, he's all right, then.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to find a quick place to sit and have some food and drink. And we went to the Arbory next to Flinders Street.
Oh, yeah.
One of those ones, yeah, right on the river and...
expensive
literally just next to the next to the Flinders Street and they had this the Pirate Life promo event happening for the day.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a
South Australia in the grand final, so why not?
They had a whole roast pig that they were doing
nice.
Burgers
yeah,
with all day. And then cans of the Pirate Life all day, and everyone was saying that it was shit house beer, but you know,
yeah,
the burgers looked pretty damn good.
It's a shit house beer on the Crows grand final weekends, but every other week, yeah, the beer is decent. But Ballast Point, fuck them guys. Yeah.
So you got a particular highlight from the weekend?
I do, and like my memory's pretty hazy from about. Half-time through to Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I remember at some pub somewhere in the city.
Right.
And we got kicked out because my mate's missus punched a dude right in the face at the bar.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Apparently he deserved it. Totally deserved it. So I'm like, that's the most Richmond thing ever, man. Having a chick smash a dude in the face at the bar.
Yep.
And I'm kind of proud of you, Amanda. So, yeah.
That's the way it goes. Well
good
done,
job.
Man.
And then she refused to accept that she punched anyone. Like, literally straight after it happened.
What,
like,
are you talking
what?
About?
What are you talking about? No,
is
I didn't.
That, is that Rick James?
Yeah. At the bar with, like, three sober barmen around her. I guess I'm now sober. I don't know. But, yeah, so that was my highlight. We went there to watch a mate's band. I can't remember what the pub was called. It was, yeah, I was in bad state at that point, but still got letting everywhere because I had a Tiger shirt on.
Yeah. Well done.
It was scary how packed it was after the game. Like we ended up back at a hotel opposite the Bridge Hotel. I forget the name of it, because that's just where Godfather was staying.
Oh,
and,
right.
To get there, we had to loop the entire way up Victoria Street and then come back down to Bridge Road because there was no way in hell we were getting down Bridge Road. Yeah.
That was insane. I'd never seen anything like it. And like I remember seeing, obviously, we were in Melbourne for the Hawks three-peat, Collingwood's double grand final. And I remember when I was working at Crown, I was at on the top level of Crown Towers when Liverpool played Melbourne Victory. And like that's the craziest I'd seen the city, with just a sea of red coming down the city, like sort of conversion on MCG. Richmond on Saturday night topped all of that. Like that was ridiculous
because they didn't
absolutely
know what to
insane.
Do.
Yeah.
Well, I loved the whole thing about it. You know, even Mark Knight, is he the guy that does the cartoon? It is Mark Knight.
Yeah.
Even his drawing of the Richmond one.
Yeah.
He made it look like the Tiger was thinking, I can't believe this either.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Everyone was like, it actually happened.
Was he the one with, I can't remember, was he the official one?
It's actually great.
It's got an exhibition coming up soon, actually.
Oh, right.
You said on some radio show.
I really like the Mark Knight's drawings. Like, I'm pretty happy with how the Richmond's come up. And we did well because at Punt Road, on Sunday, they had all the limited edition ones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So they had 1,000 of them going out, managed to score 3 of them.
No wonder they're fucking limited.
Yeah. So that one's going straight into the frames and will be a family heirloom, I think.
Did you guys get a seat cover as well? The Chemist Warehouse?
Yeah. So they had them on all the seats.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were just in one stand or they were all the seats. But
no, every seat had one, and I would say... probably about 70% of them were gone, but I reckon in the people who took them took 12 and everyone else left them.
Yeah, well, Dad only had one ticket, but he came home with 3, I think.
Yeah.
He said he was sitting, there were Crow supporters just behind him, but they didn't take theirs.
Yeah, well, there's some decent stuff in there. I mean, I used to work at Chemist Warehouse.
Probably
so
a good idea
they
didn't take
them
because there was pills in there, you know? They might not have made it home.
Yeah, it was, they're interesting. Like, I would have happily taken what was in there, but I didn't have any space and I knew we were going out.
They weren't going home.
I was like, that's not coming home with me at all.
Yeah. There would have been heaps of them down Swan Street, you know, probably actually on the bridge. They would have made it that far and went, fuck
cool
it.
There.
Actually, just walking, because Chemist Warehouse were handing them out at Yarra Park as well.
Right.
As part of one of their promos.
Yeah.
And well,
apparently 100,000 wasn't enough for them.
Dude, we just found them. We found them all in the Yarra. Like, honestly, we're walking along and it's just like, what's that floaty blue thing? Oh, it looks like it's a Chemist Warehouse. All right, it was good. Actually, Yarra Park had heaps of good freebies, so I submit.
Yeah.
I've always said, like, obviously coming from a Hawthorn supporter, you know, we've had our share of success. It's the days after that I love.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, every single football journo is talking about your team. and dissecting the greatest game you've
and
ever seen.
Every single player. Every player. I don't care who, how insignificant you are at the Richmond Football Club, but you have a full page story.
Okay? Yeah.
And he did something.
Yeah.
And 12 years ago, he did something as well. We're going to talk about that.
Well, I found myself like during the last few days, including today, just doing whatever menial task I'm doing. And then I remember the Richmond one, and I just start laughing. Like, I start cracking up laughing. Like, I cannot believe the Tigers won a flag in 2017. Just ridiculous.
So I was 3 minutes into work on Monday morning, and the work laptop background was already the Richmond Premier's photo. Yep. And of course, I do so work on laptop, but I've got a second screen like a normal person does.
Yep.
And obviously, all my work's on there, so I've just got the desktop background on the second screen. Everyone's walking past because I'm in a nice thoroughfare in the office. Everyone's walking past going, oh, a new screensaver. And they're like, yes!
Or we may as well touch on the game itself for a little bit. Seeing as that's what we're here about. So it's fair to say Adelaide obviously started favourites and confident enough and kicked the first two in fairly quick succession, including the one where, was it Vlorsten?
Yeah.
Who made an absolute clanger.
Yeah.
And Eddie Betts walked into an open goal. And then Jacks kicked 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough.
It's at this stage you go, oh my God, it's Richmond.
Look, I was thinking that, but one thing that sort of made me kind of okay with that was that Jack took a couple of big pack marks.
Took them.
And
massive
brought them
marks
to ground. And for the way our game plan works is that we need balls to go to ground.
Yeah.
We need balls on the ground. That's what our forward line does. And so that sort of gave me a bit of confidence.
I can't remember a single game where Jack's marked better.
Yeah, yeah. And especially in contrast to how his opposite number, Tex, was marking as a big forward.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. He might have been in the stand somewhere, I think, for half the game, but never made a contest that worked out in their favour. And I don't think he took his pack mark the whole time. So after Jack taking those few marks, I'm like, he's off, but that's okay, because he's not the same player that loses his head now.
Yep.
He's more of a team player, so I thought that's what his team role is.
When he's 0-3, and you go, that could be it.
Yep.
Like, you're already 2 goals down, and then somebody got caught holding the ball, it was a free kick in the middle of the ground.
Yeah.
And that was when I think Lever picked it up and played on. Yeah. And got tackled immediately by Hooley.
That was Tex who got his head taken off.
Yes. Yeah. Tex got a free kick. And you're like, this is it. You know, Richmond had just kicked 3 points.
Yeah.
And now they've given away a free kick in the middle of the ground. They got the runner of play and he's holding the ball. Yeah. He should never have played on.
Not a chance.
And
to
me, that early in the game is when it changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if Adelaide go and kick 3 goals, Rewalt's kicked not goal 3, you're down 18-3.
In the first 10 minutes.
Oh my God, you know, everything drops.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Adelaide's been killing most sides this year, is they get on top early and then just coast it out from there because you're just destroyed.
Just was not ready. And you've touched on Tex, because I wanted to talk about Tex a lot. Yeah. Because he's copped a lot of flack and, let's be honest, deserved it.
Yeah.
I thought he played a very selfish game. In that he's going, I'm going to have to do something here to show. A couple of examples was in the first quarter where he's finally won the ball in the boundary line and he's gone for a check side from 40 out.
Yeah,
and it got smothered.
Yeah.
Now, Luke Hodge did it a couple of years ago. Difference was Hawthorn was up by 40 at that stage.
Yeah.
Tex hadn't had a decent kick all day and he's gone for the miracle goal.
And I think considering how much Sloan was murdering our soul
in the first quarter,
he was everywhere. He was absolutely everywhere. And you've got one of the best ball units in the comp getting the ball.
Yeah.
And
goals.
As a full forward, you're not doing anything with that. That's a problem.
Did he get two in the first quarter?
Yeah, Sloan? Two in the first quarter.
Could have taken the game away.
Yep.
But there was another instance where Vlorsten took a mark in the third quarter right in front of Tex. And Tex went for the mark in the middle of the ground.
He did that a lot,
Vlorsten. he after he had a couple of mistakes early, come around. That's one of the greatest single game turnarounds I've seen from a player ever.
Yeah.
Oh, and the one that kills me with Lawson is he had that mark that was touched off the boot that he didn't realise was right on the siren. And they kicked a goal straight up. Easiest tap down of their lives. And they kick a goal off that. And that's
Greenwood,
That's heartbreaking.
Oh, man. It was like right near the siren as well, which is miserable.
Greenwood had a good first quarter, actually. I thought that he played very well in that first quarter. Same as Sloan. And it just showed the sort of the awareness of Dimmer's, not actually Dimmer, but the coaches who are involved in the forward and the back line to actually make those adjustments, have faith in to change it up. And it worked, which is just crazy.
Well, I liked it in the second half. It looked like, because Basher had a great first half.
Yeah.
robbed of Nobson.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought so too. I had Basher picked as well. But then they decided to put Basher on Sloan and sort of say, right, we're not going to tag you, but
yeah,
you've got to look after him too because he's killing it.
Yeah.
And I thought that helped Quell. They put some work into Sloan in the second half as well.
Yeah, because Graham went to Sloan as well.
Yeah,
And kicked like,
three.
Yeah, he kicks three goals and shuts down his childhood hero, as they put it. That was actually really amusing on the on Sunday when they had the presentation of the cup to the fans.
Yep.
They were just interviewing some of the players up on the stage and they're like, "Oh, Jack, you know, you've come a long way from this." He's like, "Yeah, from Adelaide." Like, sorry, guys.
Tea Tree Gully, I think.
For the Tigers fans, even sweeter, having one of their own, you know, actually do a number on them.
And it's like somebody said, he's played more finals than regular season games now.
And he's won more grand finals than he's lost games.
Yeah,
like,
which is
ridiculous. Hilarious.
Imagine if he retired, but fuck it.
Where do you go from here?
Yeah, 5-0 with a flag. What's better? Graham was really exciting. Like, he is the oldest looking 19-year-old
isn't he?
Ever.
He's a man child.
Yeah, but he's honestly, I was really impressed, and I'm glad he's healthy now, and he's in looking really good in all the games he's played.
Probably not healthy at the minute.
No, yeah. No. Well, they were actually just up the road from my work today, so I was kind of tempted to sneak out, head up to Sporting Globe.
They did great with the costumes.
Oh, fantastic. They were awesome. I'm just going to put it hands down. Alex Rance, it was my favorite by far. Yeah. Wearing the costume, dressed up as the towel guy that he abused 3 weeks ago for trying to wipe the blood off his head. Absolutely just owning that. And then the squatting slabs.
Yeah, squatting slabs was the greatest.
Yeah, that was awesome.
There's nothing better than that.
He's like you've got Ben Griffiths perched up on a stool that's like double the size of a normal person.
He's got like a jar of pickles there as well.
Props. I love a costume that's got props.
Yeah. They were brilliant. There was there were some really good ones. And they even had the video going around and Sean Griggs doing the DJ Khaled dance.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
Back to the game, just slightly. But at halftime, so what was it, 9 points at halftime?
Nine points.
But all the momentum was with the Tigers. And I think Tim Watson even said on the broadcast, Sean Griggs was telling the other players, "We've got them." They're arguing amongst themselves.
Yeah.
Which I think some of the language that came out of the game, Josh Jenkins in one of his interviews said, you know, this wasn't meant to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that just speaks to their attitude towards it. It was like, we've got this, you know, we are winning this.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's one thing to be confident. I think it was a fake and plea for some of them. Yeah. And that's the way they played. It's easy to say that afterwards when they've been thumped. But
well, it reminded me of Hillary Clinton, to be honest.
A little bit. Maybe it is. Does that mean you're Donald Trump?
No. shit.
Did not think that one
through. Thank you. Please no. Now, honestly, Dad was listening to the SEN call because he's got his little FM radio that he brings every bloody footy game.
Yeah.
No matter. He's actually moved on and bought a smartphone now. So instead of the old...
Not the old TAB issued...
Well, that's the thing. He's glad now that he can watch his racing on his phone while he's at the footy.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic for him. But he still brings along his little FM radio, even though he has it on his phone. But whatever. Brought that along. So listen to SCN cast. And Mick Malthouse made the call halfway through the first quarter and goes, "I'm not even worried. Richmond are going to kill him this game."
Yeah.
And this is when we're down. Again, we were getting smashed. And he's like, "Nah, they're all over him." You know, obviously they were Jack missing those three, not on the scoreboard, but we were all on
it
top.
It must be advantageous being a coach, understanding just the actual little minute details that go into coaching and moving things around and systems and how it works and what that's going to play out as.
And you know that I've heard some of them talk about they have phases. This is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
We're moving to phase two in a minute. We're not doing it yet, but we need to go through this phase so that they react or don't react.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that they do it like that.
Yeah, so it's almost like a cheat mode watching AFL. Yeah. Just like that. You're like, I don't know who wins.
We can see what happens,
Yeah. But I was really impressed with how they could run out of that four quarters. And especially, like, obviously it's a game plan that wasn't from the start of the season. And it seemed like we didn't have the fitness from probably the last half of that season to implement it. So it seems like that tapering off and that building that team to be fit enough to be able to implement the game plan was, like, perfectly timed.
Well, that's what I wonder, because last year that's what we said watching the Tigers. They're not fit.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they weren't fit and they fixed it over the summer, or they were putting load into them, you know, all through last year and now they're actually bearing fruit.
Yeah.
I don't really know. You have to be more on the inside, but
I think a bit of luck in there too.
But everyone, like, on all the radio shows I was listening to, they said if Tigers are within a goal at three-quarter time, it's theirs.
Yeah.
As it turns out, they were well above that.
Yeah.
But everyone knew that they could run out this game, and they'll do it with tackling. They won't do it with silky smooth skills.
Yeah. And going back to what you sort of talked about, Greg, with Crows players arguing going into the halftime break, and as soon as you let the other team that little sniff of weakness, and that's what they build, and that gives you confidence, that gets the adrenaline going,
and they're yelling at each other.
Yeah. Like, and it just takes that one goal after halftime, all of a sudden, like, we're right, you know, it's good, here we go.
Well, that's it. To be fair, I don't think until we hit that we kicked the goal and it ended up, it was 80-40.
When did you write it off? Did you put it in the bank?
That was then. That was when I literally doubled. Yeah, when I saw that very aesthetically pleasing scoreline of 80-40, I was like, we're actually home. And I think that's probably when the tears started heavily. We were kind of a little misty-eyed to begin with, but no, that was when it was like, holy crap, we're actually doing this. Like, it was pretty big.
What about you, Brenton?
I cried yesterday watching on the couch.
Look, I'm four replays in already, so I think I'm doing all right.
Yep.
We got another one scheduled in for later this week.
There's just a nerve there that it just keeps on hitting, man. It just keeps on bringing the tears out. I was, funny enough, watching it with a bunch of Crow supporters as well. But they were in the lounge room, and I was out the back, like, had a dartboard going along, just. But I did not enjoy the game at all. I did not enjoy it until, I think, Butler kicked that goal with maybe 6 minutes ago. I can't remember that Czech side or what it was. Actually, no, that was in the third quarter. I can't remember who it was, but they sealed it. We cracked the 100.
Yep.
Like, we got the 100 first. Yeah. They're down to like 54. I'm like, we're home. That's it. It was like 7 minutes ago or something.
I think that was the time when Dimmer actually goes, all right, we're good now.
Yeah.
And because he was saying in his interviews, he was like, it was 10 minutes left. We're up by 40 points. And the guys are like, come on, we need to go down to the bench. And he's like, no, this, and this could still happen, right? We're not home yet.
I guarantee he went with the old Lee Matthews, a goal a minute. Once you're under that, you're laughing.
Funny enough, that's exactly what I was telling my Crows mates. They were telling me that we've got in the bag. Like, no, you don't understand. You do not understand.
We can still lose this.
And I think in the last quarter, there was two Crows goals within a minute.
Quick, real quick.
You go, ooh. Yeah. And then
there was a free kick and a 50, which was legitimate. Yep. And then they scored another one straight after that.
I was actually shattered because those two goals got us down to 26 points, and I had tipped Richmond by 26. So the fact that we then blasted them away again, I was a little sad about.
A little sad.
just close to that one. We had a few of those Facebook, you know, put in your tip for the week, and I was on like three of them with Richmond at 26, and then Dad was chucked a couple of bucks on the that margin as well, so would have gone all right.
What was it in the end? It was
48.
48? Yeah. If you tip Richmond by 48, you've done well.
You'd have been laughed at. would have been laughed at.
In the game, like we've already spoken, I thought Basher was best on ground.
Yeah.
They gave it to Dusty, and I thought it was a little bit. Maybe you're comparing Dusty to what you know he can do. So I thought he was slightly off his best. But I haven't seen him caught at all this year.
Yeah.
He got caught two or three times.
He also had the most contested possessions I've seen him have in a fairly long time as well. So I think looking at the stats, obviously watch the game, but obviously when you're giving North Smith, you want to be sure. So I'm guessing they rechecked the stats. And they probably saw like 21 contested possessions.
29 posies, two goals.
Yeah. And not 21 contested, but I think that's where the game's broken.
That's where he won it. The ceiling goal to the ends as well. Yeah. If Basher kicks 2-1 instead of 1-2, maybe you start looking the other way. But as I said after the game, a couple of guys, I think Basher won us the game and then Dusty finished the game.
That was pretty much what it came to.
And I would have loved to see Basher get the recognition for it. And I really liked one of his posts on Reddit about saying that having the first Muslim player to win at Premier League, it was just amazing for them to see, as from a personal note, to say, oh look, we're we can do this too.
You got to cash it in now.
Yeah,
there's memberships.
That's one angle I'd never sort of thought of. You know what I mean? So I was actually really, really, inspired to see that post where someone's become a Richmond fan, like maybe second team or something like that, just because they've seen the first people they identify with win a flag.
Well, it's a shame that Jackie King's not around, because then you could also have the midgets.
He was in the crowd.
He was Troy Chaplin. Yeah, he was actually sitting with some family friends of mine, and Jakey's obviously knows them quite well.
Yep.
And at the end of the game, he's 70 years old as well, this Ren. and at the end of the game, someone... throws an arm around him and practically tackles him to the ground. He's like, who the fuck is this? Get off me. And turns around, it's Jake. Oh, hi, Jake. Now we're actually, we got Tigers on the Turf next Friday at Caulfield. Right, a little right. Tommy Hafey Club function. Which,
okay.
Oh, nice.
Dad and I are heading off to as well. And yeah, I think Jakey's going to be there. So
if there's betting, he'll be down there.
It'll be a pretty big day.
You should ask Jakey the results before the races start. Yeah. Just to get in on it.
Unless the track owes some debts, then I'd be scared.
Speaking of the punt, I noticed that when it comes to the Norm Smith medal betting, Jimmy Bartel excused himself. He was asked to be one of the votes.
Oh, really?
And he said, I can't. Because he had a big bet on.
Oh, really?
He said, I'm not a big gambler, but he had a big multi on with a couple of races, Richmond into Vlauston.
Jeez.
He said it was about 350K.
Shit.
Jeez.
He got up and goes, so I can't vote because I've already...
I voted. Vlauston's winning. And he got injured 2 minutes into the game. He was the best. He was easily the best. It was good. Actually, we had a few of those. What do you have? Richmond, he backed 10 weeks ago at $26. Yeah. It was like, he had the confidence. He was there, but...
I was going to say, it is funny now that people will draw out all the people that predicted it, you know. And like KB said at New Year's Day, you know, I've got a feeling that Richmond...
Yeah, but KB would say that every year.
Exactly. They haven't pulled out the other 10 years or the other 37 years where KB has said this. And all the other people that have predicted, you know, I predicted this 2 years ago. I'm like, yeah, but... You also predicted that we'd be living on the Mars by now.
Yeah.
So you know, it's good that you got these predictions right. Yeah.
I want to see the misses first. Yeah. Not the misses, but the
yeah, I want to see
the loss.
I can show the misses too. It was funny. It's funny the next morning seeing that picture of
I did see somebody's
some
misses.
Naked chicken, wow, big titties and the medal around her neck. I'm it's like, good job, Tigers.
You know what? Good on you.
Fucking oath, man. Well played. I bet that's one that just went around to the boys and someone was like, nah, we got to get this out there, man. That's a fucking cracker.
No, I'm going to say that whoever the young lady was that posed for that photo knew it was going to get out there, which is why it was cut off.
Oh, of course, yes.
It doesn't matter. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Josh said they'd be down at Kittens 5 minutes after the game. I think we have proof.
I think Kittens came to them, let's be honest. I think they shut the doors and went, all right, where's Dusty? We're going there.
Yep.
Swanee's place, apparently.
Yeah, I saw him in the rooms as well. I also liked in the post-match press conference, you know, Dimmer's obviously over the moon.
Yeah.
And Clarko's decided to rate
it. Yeah, that was hilarious. Yep. But that was funny seeing the family tree of Clarko.
The Clarkson family above him as well.
Yeah, seeing what's coming down. And, I mean, it's looking pretty ominous because every other coach has got a chance. It's pretty much from that same lineage as well.
Well, I mean, Fagan's still there. I mean, you're at Brisbane, but yeah.
That's true.
Can't all be hits.
No, well, apparently Stewie Jew looks like he's in the race for Gold Coast.
Yeah, I read today there was down to three, and he was one of them. Barker. Yeah, I reckon it'll be Barker, but I've forgotten who the third one was. But
it's Scotty not Carousella.
No, Carousella.
I hope not. I hope he stays. He's been a big help for us this year.
It was Scotty Burns was the other one.
Oh, really?
I think.
Fair enough.
Might have just signed over to Hawthorne. Was that Scott Burns? Anyway, it doesn't matter. So that'll be interesting in the coaching.
Yeah, so...
Back to the games. A lot of the focus on the Adelaide side of things has been on their failing forward line.
Yeah.
Like, we've already spoken about Tex, but Eddie wasn't spotted. I reckon he influenced play three times.
He did nothing.
He kicked that first goal, which, to be honest, fell into his lap. But you got to be there to do that.
Yeah.
And he was. He got Rance holding the ball.
Yep.
But then immediately handballed Tex in the pocket.
Yeah.
Which I can understand he's thinking, like, let's try and get the captain into the game, but it's Eddie Betts in the pocket.
That's exactly
right.
You
take that kick.
A lot of time he was marked by Grimes as well.
Grimes killed him. Yeah. Absolutely killed him. And it's the same with Toby Green, the GWS game. Yeah. Grimes just destroyed him.
Said all year, Alex Rance is the best backman in the league.
Yeah.
Rance and Grimes is the best back duo.
Yeah.
If I was somebody like North Melbourne who were throwing around big dollars, you know, they threw absolute everything at Dusty and couldn't move him.
Yeah.
Grimes is the one I'd be approaching. If I was trying to poach a player, because you're not going to move Dusty. They've shown.
Yeah.
There is nothing that can move him.
Yeah.
Rance, I believe, is the same. Cochin, I believe, is the same.
Yep.
Yeah.
Grimes is worth $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's probably a good one to try and, break off the edges there.
If you're going to poach somebody, he's the one I'd be approaching.
I think Grimes is really useful in that role because, say, if Asprey gets injured, Grimes can come in and play the taller forward.
He's small,
taller defender.
Tall. Yeah.
He's just very awkward looking.
Like, it took me a while to grow into that body too. Yeah. He still hasn't done it yet.
He's not silky smooth with his skills either, but he's a defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does the job.
He's all Australian next year, I guarantee it.
Looks like he's good at accounting as well, so chuck him in there. One thing about the Crows, which really surprised me, was their really poor entry into 50s, how they just kept on sinning onto Taylor's head, and Vlossen just cleaned up intercept marks, like one after the other. After a really shit first quarter, they brought him back into the game themselves.
They were rushed.
Yeah.
There's so many times where, you know, when they turned the ball over, they like to handball it out and run.
Yep.
And there were times where they actually, you know, got it free and handballed out to a loose man over his head.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to go run and chase it on the boundary line, and then he has to blind turn, and he's in trouble again. Handballs couldn't hit targets.
Yeah.
Because perceived pressure.
I thought the only one that really sort of tried to break through that in the first quarter was Charlie Cameron, and then he picked up a little knock, but I don't think that really affected him too much. But he kind of touched Asprey up in that first quarter and then went missing for the middle half.
I think that's something that I noticed when we played GWS. The times where they got through, it was ones where you'd look at and go, that was good.
You had no choice.
And that was the quick kick out of the 50 towards the boundary, one straight back into the middle, and then bang, into the 50.
Grab, handball, you know, play on, kick. Handball, play
and
on.
Any sort of zigzag movement, our small forward just killed him. And it's the same that happened with Adelaide. The only times that we're getting through was those quick kicks and marks and movement.
A mistake was made.
Yeah, and we never allowed Jenkins to get free out of the back, which I think was quite amazing.
Never got out the back.
I love it. They had the sweep going the grand final, so, you know, drink every time they get a possession, drink every time they get mentioned by the commentators. Hell. She pulled in Jenkins and had a very sober day.
Drove home.
I think there was only one person that had a quieter game than Jenkins, and that might have been Talia.
Three
touches.
Could have been forgiven for thinking it was laid out.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the thing? It was, 100,021 people out of a capacity of 100,024.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those three missing were the Adelaide players.
Fantastic. So I'm glad Josh isn't here because he put it on Reddit and got all these votes. My fucking joke that I made during the game, fucking stolen. We're talking about it. I said, three missing are the Crows player. Fucking put it on.
Straight onto it.
Hey, didn't even say a word. Anyway.
No, thank you.
We'll just save it for the best of.
I think that came out today too.
I missed out. Missed out this month. I let myself down.
But that was hilarious seeing sort of the combined streamer build of Swan Street from Saturday night. Holy shit, that was chaos. I'm amazed that it's cleaned up now. I did see a tweet of one of the reporters going to work on Sunday morning complaining to Vic Metro that the trains got vomit in them. They haven't cleaned up last night. I'm like, that's probably half an hour ago. What are you talking about?
We did clean it last night.
They're still out there.
It was a pretty intense one. I love the chanting under Swan Street Bridge, though. That was fantastic.
That was intense.
I saw so many camera phones versions of it. Just really amazing. And some dickheads, you know, they trashed cars and trashed the Collingwood...
Westpac Centre.
Fucking dickheads. And hopefully...
Holden Centre, I think.
Holden Centre.
They've got 70 name changes a year.
I'm sure there's a million cameras and they're probably not going to catch anybody, but still.
Yeah.
In any mob, there's dickheads.
Yeah.
And I heard that it's a few bottle-os that just shut the door because they said, we're getting robbed.
Yeah.
which is a shame because... What was there? 200,000 people there?
That's
the
thing.
It's the same percentage of dickheads, regardless of the
football. It's just got a bigger
group. It's just a much larger amount of dickheads.
And speaking of crowds, because we noticed during the week that the NRL had to give away some tickets to.
What was the reason behind that? I actually looked it up.
Because it's held in Sydney and it was Melbourne versus Northern Queensland.
So they'd give them away because they didn't sell them.
Yeah, they couldn't.
Because the headline I read was NRL forced to give away 20,000 tickets or something. Forced, I thought, so there was some dodgy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Payment scheme or some shit. Just to fill the stadium.
There's nothing worse than, and I don't think it was 20,000 either. I think that was the paper being a little bit generous.
Yeah.
It was a little bit less than that. But besides that, the AFL, obviously, 100,000.
Yeah.
And another 20 next door.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And
so what was the total of their crowd?
79. Okay. And I think the capacity is 80, so they filled it. So
Melbourne Storm ripped off not getting home ground advantage. I'll tell you what, could have had that with the 20,000 capacity stadium next to the Holden Centre.
In saying that though, the 20,000 were punt road. That was just punt road as well. That doesn't include the Yarra Park,
Federation Square.
Because the punt road live site that they were doing, that sold out in like 12 minutes or something ridiculous. It was almost harder getting a punt road ticket than it was getting a grand final ticket for some.
Literally was. I wonder how many people slept over that punt road.
Yeah, it'll be in a fair few, I reckon. There'll be people that went, fuck it. Actually, slept, probably a strong word. Probably just didn't leave.
Just passed out, woke up.
Yep.
It was actually amazing how clean it ended up being after... after Saturday, and we rocked up there Sunday morning, and was like, "Oh, there's actually grass here now. I can see grass." But the all the bins like lining around Punt Road and Swan Street, it was just overflowing. Yeah, essentially, just someone had set up a tent of just rubbish.
I mean, the good thing is the club can afford to look. We'll help you clean it up because we made a fucking packet.
Yeah. just the merch on Sunday.
Oh, just the entry ticket. I mean, they sold out Punt Road.
Yeah,
for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it was crazy. And this joke, the happiest person at the Richmond Football Club right now is the treasurer. Because they're just sitting there going, what do we do with all this money?
On that note, I read on Twitter, I think it was Brendan who follows on Twitter, talking about how he went to the family day, paid $200 for AFL grand final jersey, then goes online, $150. so paid overs at the actual family day that he went along to.
Oh, well.
It's pretty fucking rough, man.
But... I guess did he get somebody to sign it?
Still a bit of harm. He charged him for his 400 hats after Nick Riewoldt gave him away.
Nick Riewoldt gave away the free hats at his 300th game. Brent Harvey's 400th game. Yeah. 427
it was,
$10 each.
Yeah.
You got to make the money. You know,
it's true. Got to afford to buy nobody.
When North don't have pokies, I'm more than happy for them to be charging for absolutely everything. So that's a good
gotta make
sign.
A quid where you can.
Yeah, 100%.
And the other good thing about the Tigers is obviously
everything is good about the Tigers right now.
That best 22 that ran out there, that I think that was just about their best 22 as well. Their injury list was impeccable
for that game plan. It was their best 22. Yeah,
They can line up again next year. They're not losing anybody at that best 22. You know, a premiership 22 has never lined up again.
Really?
Never.
Wow. I think we got two first round draft picks too, so we're sitting pretty.
Sitting okay to become the Tigers of old.
Yep.
They're now a big four club again. Obviously, the membership's there, the finances are there, and now they can attract the sponsors.
And the VFL team's there, which is one of the most important things.
To be honest, the VFL team's probably there because the fact that we had almost no injuries in the AFL side. So like guys like Miles, Batchelor, Lloyd... that all three, I mean, even like Lennon and stuff, he can play in the AFL side really with not much hassle. But we've just got better guys to do that right now. And
like you said, a clean injury list, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I put down the Hawthorn three-peat to, is our injury list was so good during those years.
Yeah.
You go into the game. My general rule is generally pick the side that's got the better injury list on grand final day.
Yep.
I still went Adelaide, but it doesn't make sense. You go against
not alone there.
And
in saying that, Port had a better injury list than anybody this year.
Yep, absolutely.
And then, flunked out.
Yeah, and it was great to see.
It was hilarious.
It was fucking awesome.
it's the big difference. I mean, Griffiths is still an iffy one. As much as I like him as a player, it's hard because if he gets one more head knock...
I don't want to see him play again.
Yeah, I'm the same. He needs to reevaluate his life.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
One more head knock, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. But, I mean, we've got some really good younger guys coming through. Like, Soldo's still green, but, I mean, he's going to be a good replacement for Nank once his body gives out.
Shai Bolton could be the next, you know, Charlie Cameron or Eddie Betts.
Yep.
Bulk up Marable Chol as well.
Don't know.
Could be a project.
I saw him in the VFL Grand Final because I watched the game. You're like,
They've been testing him out a lot in a lot of positions. Like, he's played pretty much half the time. Like a third of the time in the back, third of the time in forward line, and then a third in the ruck. So it's kind of trying to find that home for him at the moment. Still a bit tough.
Yeah, I just don't know if that home's football.
Yeah, and that's it. A lot of those players with that sort of capability have been put in as a loose man across half back.
Yeah.
But there's only so far that strategy goes. Exactly. Which, I mean, even in that game, Lever was for a while a loose man across half back.
Yep.
But when you start losing, you've got to give up on that game plan. Yeah. Like, you can't just stick with it. Yeah.
That's why we were really lucky. Like, they were sitting two back at one stage. Yeah. It was like, okay, sure. Yeah, like, we want you to try and handball out with those extra two people because we're going to chase you down every time.
We're very critical of John Longmire in the final where they were playing a loose man in defence when they were down by 40.
Yeah.
I don't think that the coaching wasn't the issue in this game.
No,
the players were just cattle. Not performing.
Yeah. And even when you're talking about, I heard Brownie on the couch talking about how Tex needed to really impose himself in that game. Ooh. I think it's up to him. In that third quarter, he's like, put me in the middle. We need to make a statement.
Do something.
Chuck me in there. I've got to get the ball. I've got to do something.
Well, I think the problem was he had that attitude from the get-go. I said, I thought he played a selfish game and to his detriment.
Yeah, one of the interesting things I heard was from Shane Edwards talking about how, you know, pretty much every week at training, they have to go up against their own offensive defense, if that makes sense. And so he felt that against the Crows, he actually had more time than he's used to because he's used to going up against his own defense in training, which is very, very tight. And so playing against them, he felt he had more time. I think that really showed in his sort of real quick handballs in that position.
About to say the same thing, especially Shane Edwards.
Because
nobody else looked like they had as much time as he did.
And
there was a lot of times where he took the second option.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I'm going there.
Yep.
And it was the right call.
Yeah.
One of the better games I've seen. Before he did his knee, he do a knee or an ankle?
I can't remember.
He had a big injury.
Yeah.
Before he did that, he was an absolute running machine and a speedster.
Yeah.
And I think he's come back slower.
Yeah.
This was his best game.
It was kind of one of the reasons why Matty White couldn't get a game. Yeah. You had him on the pitch.
He looked so composed.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of that old adage in cricket where you want to have the best bowlers in the world in your team because they're going to be ones that your batter's going to be facing the nets.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of that Richmond philosophy of, you know, having that
iron
high pressure forward
iron.
Line. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was one of those little advantages that might. I want to see how this goes next year with coaches, if they can figure it out or they adopt it. As one of the two. And I think this is one of the few times Richmond have actually implemented a game plan that's uniquely their own, as opposed to trying to follow along.
100% correct. And remember, a couple of years ago, Jack Riewoldt was always in the media and got in trouble for saying, you know, we're trying to play a Hawthorn game.
Yeah.
And we can't.
Yeah.
They're playing a Richmond game.
Yeah.
And so many times they're coming out of halfback and you can see it. They're just throwing the ball in the boot.
Mm.
But they had a one-on-one contest up ahead and they backed themselves in.
Yeah.
Like, and the guy up ahead, he knows what's going to happen because that's what they've told they're going to do.
Yeah.
So the hack kicks out of half back, which are usually a big no-no, Richmond said, all right, no, we're going to do the hack kicks and we'll sort it out up there.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And we'll practice the ball and dispute. Hey, what do you do there?
Just mob the ball forward. Yeah. That's
fucking simple.
Yeah. I mentioned the other day, I think the one success, with the GWS game is I think that found out a little bit on how to beat that fast pressure in the forward line.
Yeah.
But you've got to have very good skills to pull that off.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, there's two ways to get around it. One is you've got to have very good skills or one person doesn't hold up their end. Because if there's the one loose man, there's an outlet, you're safe. You can relieve the pressure.
100% correct.
So that's the weakness of the plan, if you like, is you need all 18 on the field to adhere. Richmond did it.
Yeah.
And this is where it's been so good because Rioli, Butler and Castagna are essentially in a love triangle of some weird...
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but...
The mosquito feet, they kept calling him in the country.
Yeah. So, during the game, they had on the tape on their wrist, Run Chase, written on it. So, they've all three have gone out and got tattoos of Run Chase on their wrist.
Was that their three wrists?
That was their three wrists.
Wow, right.
That was actually, fans. Yeah, their three wrists.
I had a dream last night that I got that tattooed on my wrist.
Yeah. Well, because I was
mate,
like...
Do you want to have a look, pull up your sleeves? Was it a dream?
Thank God.
So, I was hesitant. I mean, I still don't have 100% confirmation, but I was hesitant at first because I was like, okay, sure, they've done that. I mean... Castagna's got a tattoo of a ping pong bat on his ass with DB in it because he lost 150 games of table tennis. But then I looked at it again, and yeah, they had posted a photo with Rioli with his tape, and then the photo with the three, and the font was exactly the same.
Yeah,
like they've just stamped it on.
Yeah,
I was like, so the only way they've done that is if they've had the actual tape that they used.
Good point. Yeah,
to really match that,
or the person that wrote it on the tape then wrote it again.
Well, no, but like all the the actual errors in the tape was exactly the same.
I haven't seen the photo, so I'll have a look.
It was beautiful.
Even the slant of the understrike is perfect.
Yeah, big fan.
It was shown up very well on the cameras on the game, so they could have just done a screen grab.
Yeah, look at it. If it's three fans, but they've happened to get one guy who's slightly tanned, and then two really white guys. I think it was definitely them.
And I think that's the hard part, is getting your whole team to subscribe to a game plan that's unselfish.
Yep.
Especially with people who have been brought up with huge egos for their whole career. And that just goes to show what the culture that Hardwick and Cochin have put into that club over 5 years. Yeah. It's not just the 1 year turnaround.
We haven't spoken about Cochin at all yet. I mean, what are we, 45 minutes into talking about the grand final? We haven't mentioned Cochin.
Yeah.
If you're at a Crows going in and you say you're going to keep Cochin to under 20 disposals, you go, all right, awesome, we'll take that.
Yeah.
That was the best 19 disposal game I've seen from Cochin.
Yep. Yeah. Well, the thing to stop Cochin is that you got to keep him out of that contest in and under. When you see him going in, sidebump him, get him out of there, shepherd him out of the contest.
1 year ago, that was not him.
No, not at all. That was his biggest criticism.
Yep.
And that's why initially I was so glad that we got Prestia coming in, because I was like, Prestia will play the in and under, Koch will sit on the outside. And then they've just gone, nah, actually, Prestia, stay on the outside, and Koch just headbutts everything.
Yeah. I just wonder if, you know, he's had the, because all the clubs do their feedback, and he said, you know, you've got to go in harder, you're a little bit soft. Yeah. That's been the criticism, and he's gone, you know what, fuck it, I'll try it.
Yeah, just give it a crack.
You know what, shit, this works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good. I will happily, adamantly say that this year was better than Cochin's Brownlow year.
Not the first person to say that.
Yeah.
No, 100% better.
I agree.
And just as a leader as well, you can see how far he's come.
I'll say the first year he looked like a captain.
Well, his successes this season are non-statistical points, if that makes sense. There's not things that you measure. They're things that are just there and you know they're there.
And you know he's still got the silky smooth skills that, you know, made him a great player to begin with.
Yeah, like the Geelong goal.
That Geelong goal was spinning around.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah, that was ridiculous,
And there was even one at GWS where it bounced and went through for a point. But it was unbelievable that he even got that shot away.
Yeah.
That was an amazing game from him.
Yeah, and it did seem like the Crows thought it was going to be a walk. Even the supporters coming in, that was the expectation. And when you don't adjust to that initial shock, then you go into pieces. You know, you start turning on each other. And even, if I remember hearing Tex Walker's little... they caught some snippets of his huddle at the start of the game, and it was like almost dictating to him, you know, we got to do this, just get the fucking job done. Like, that's not motivating to anyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not how you motivate people.
The thing that makes me laugh every time someone mentions how Adelaide were confident in a shoe-in, I'm just thinking back to round six where Dad and I went over to Adelaide to watch the game.
We got flogged.
The first quarter, we were screaming our lungs out, giving it to all the Adelaide supporters near us. We're worried about the knitting needles coming at us, but, you know, we survived. And then the last three quarters, kind of just sinking back down and going, oh, all right, whatever.
Mm.
But there was one Crow supporter, and here's a little shout out to this guy, who got up at the end of the game and goes, well, we'll see everyone last week of September. And
no shit.
We did see them.
Wow.
So suck shit, again. There's no way this guy is going to be listening to this podcast, but
not a chance.
God, it makes me so happy.
If you're a Tigers fan in Adelaide, try and find this cunt. One of my sweetest Richmond victories, it was going to Footy Park when it was out in Westlakes and watching us.
Malcolm Blight was coach.
Yes, watching him walk around the outside of the boundary into the change room. We doubled their score in the last quarter. One of my finest moments. Second to a premiership, almost.
I think that was even the day he called Pittman pathetic.
I think it was too, pathetic Pittman.
Back in those days.
Yeah. God bless Malcolm Blight for his honesty. Underappreciated coach at St Kilda as well. He told them what they needed to do. Nah, don't believe you. All right, turns out you're true. So you're right.
Finally, I thought Hardwick, when he's doing his speech on the stands, he did great, because you still see he's like, I'm fucking here.
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah.
This is what's...
And it was great too. It was the shout out to Mrs. Hardwick, and then the shout out to the love of his life, the players. Like, that's sweet, Dima.
I didn't hear that. I'm like, did you word that correctly?
And no one reacted to it either. Like, there was not even they were like,
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Everyone was still in shock.
Well, half the team loses with him, so it's not surprising.
Yeah. That still makes me laugh though with Danny taking Dimmer's daughter to the Brownlow.
Yeah.
I was like, you know
he's
what?
A brave man.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Hey, when you're all in, you may as well go for the biggest pot you can.
He took a medal home as well from the Brownlow medal. So
also Koch shouldered him around the ground for the parade afterwards.
That brings a tear to my eye.
God, what a champ.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Cleaning up in the rooms after. Yep. Who are you trying to impress?
You got like, you buried hookers in the 80s or something.
He's got to be in his backyard, I swear. Yeah.
No, I'm glad to hear that really he's come out the Sunday and, you know, obviously, we all know that he's broken his foot or he did his calf or something pretty bad.
Ankle, yeah, Dimmer said something was broken.
So he's come out on the Sunday. He's got crutches and how's the foot? Like, you all right? So he's like, what foot? Yeah. Like, I got a premiership medal. Nothing hurts right now.
Thank fuck Asada weren't there on Sunday. Tell you what.
Yeah.
I said, thank fuck Asada weren't there on Sunday.
There's a quote somebody put up, the 2013 premiership for Hawthorn. I only found out recently that it's a Kurt Vonnegut quote, which is everything's beautiful and nothing hurts.
Right.
And I thought after a premiership, that's it. Yeah. That's what it is. Everything's beautiful and nothing hurts.
Do that, or after they give you the morphine after you break your leg.
It might have been what he was referencing.
I still remember a funny story. One of our friends, he was a chef in the kitchen, and for some reason, the microwave was up high. He was reheating pumpkin soup. So obviously, that gets scorching hot after a while.
Yeah.
So he's gone to pull it down, it spilled over his arm, giving him like third-degree burns in hospital. And he said he remembers, obviously, he's been given lots and lots of painkillers, lots of morphine. Yep. He remembers like his family in there, and they're all crying because he looks horrific with his burn. And he's like to someone there, dude, just give him some of that morphine stuff. Like, I was feeling terrible. I'm fucking great. Like, these guys are the crying. They're the ones that need it. Like, even in pain, you're selfless.
Yeah. Well, we might have needed the morphine. We haven't touched this yet, but listening to Jack singing Mr. Brightside, not once, but a Jack Dyer medal as well.
We
had two renditions, and sadly, the Jack Dyer medal, his microphone was a little closer to his mouth this time. So we, didn't get the best earful on that one.
The first time I saw the footage of him singing it at the after party, I thought a couple of things. One is he's still got his Guernsey and his shorts on. Like, mate, have a shower.
Yeah.
I know you're celebrating, but you have a shower. But when he had the microphone up in the air when he's singing, I thought it was a stubby. No. He's got the microphone. He hasn't figured this out. Poor day. I did see that somebody amended his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, former touring member.
Hold on.
It was pretty cheeky that he lined that up before the game even started, though.
It was.
It was fantastic. So, and just a passing comment, and then good on the AFL PR chicks going.
And the Killers.
Fucking, I'm going to do it. Yeah, brilliant.
How is that? Somebody that knows their fucking target market.
Yeah.
Yep, this will be awesome. Well,
this is what happens when you learn that Gil's children decide who the fucking halftime entertainment is. They actually get decent bands. But
if only Meatloaf was there. That's
but all the reports have been completely positive about the entertainment there. So they've got to give AFL credit there. They nailed it. They've listened to criticism. They've actually done something about it.
They've picked a modern band and the right band too, because obviously they've gone, you know, letting somebody sing their song.
Yeah.
It's their number one song. And they've gone, well, we're actually here because of the football. Let's embrace that.
Yeah.
And then Mike Brady.
Go wrong.
Yeah. Why isn't he there every year?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, who would have thought? People like hearing Mike Brady play the football.
Yeah, you got to satisfy that side of the market as well.
The only bad thing I'll say about the day was the Oz Kickers presenting the medals, and a couple they had hooked up with lapel mics.
Yeah, that was sad.
Why?
Yeah.
This is a beautiful moment regardless.
Yeah.
I know that they had the, you know, you're my hero, Hodgie, a few years ago.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody said, you know, I think that was set up, you go, yeah, of course it fucking was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It ruins it.
Yeah.
This year they went one step further and put lapel mics on them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a shit idea.
It is a beautiful thing to see these little Oz Kickers give the medals to their heroes.
Oh, one of the legends. Thing, when they were lining up and they called Tex Walker to come up to the stage to give his thing, one of the Oz Kickers was going nuts, man. He's obviously a Crows fan. Like, he's in the Tigers. Man. He's like, oh my God, here he is. He's like jumping up and down. Like, that's sweet, man. That, like, I think it made me cry too.
I saw one article where they had a go at Tex about his speech.
I'm like, fuck.
I don't know why they call up the opposition captain for a speech.
Don't even worry about
all.
It. Yeah, what's he going to say?
Yeah, cheers, guys. Yeah, fuck you.
Great game. Yeah, you're two on the time.
That was awesome, wasn't it? Just, so close.
Literally, my lifelong dream just got crushed. Yeah. Like, fucking hell,
I'm
man.
I'm so proud of me for losing. Yeah.
To be honest, if you gave it, because they were trying to compare it with the NRL loser speech, whatever it is, and then the AFL one.
Somebody Cooper is
if you give that big of an impassioned speech when you lose, then fuck you, man. But like, you ain't trying hard enough.
They didn't focus on what the difference was. Cooper was praising a single player who was retiring.
Right.
That's what he was doing, which is fine. Okay. And the guy is a legend. It's like, imagine if that was Dusty Martin's last game.
Yeah.
And Tex went, mate, you're a legend. You've done all this. Yep. You can understand it, but, you know, that's what the NRL... I watched the NRL Grand Final as well. And the presentations. Their presentations are bloody horrible.
Yeah. I was at work, luckily.
Oh, they have fucking... the head of marketing from Telstra, the CEO from Telstra. I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah.
That's what I like about the AFL ones. You've got the Oz Kickers. James Hurt, who I thought there were a couple of boos, but there was more cheers.
Yeah, he copped a pretty good reception.
I thought that was great. Yeah. I thought, welcome back to the community.
Yep. That's another thing. Yeah, I was pretty annoyed at those boos. Because you hear them on the screen. What was it like at the in the crowd?
It definitely sounded worse in the crowd initially. Like, you got a really heavy... you know, boo. It subsided pretty quickly because I think those who were booing were probably getting some death stares from people going, don't be a dickhead.
As they should, yeah.
I think
dude's a fucking legend.
The people that don't usually say anything went, nah, we better fix this.
Yeah, true.
Which is great because I've always said, at worst, you know, they cheated.
Yeah.
They paid their penance.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, even with the house, as far as I'm concerned. At worst, he was guilty of naivety. As opposed to trying to put state sanction or whatever.
Having said that, I'm still, you know, I'm not cheering John Jones if he ever comes back. But that's another story.
This is true,
another story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If he goes to Pride, when everyone's on the
too
same
too many chances. No, it's done.
Oh, did you hear Rumble Johnson's coming back? Heavyweight,
I heard that.
Holy fuck. Look out, world.
He'll still fail to make weight, so it won't matter.
The other post-game, I thought, giving Richo a mic was one of the biggest risks. It was so worth it.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Joe Rogan putting the mic in front of the Diaz brothers. You know you're going to get in trouble, but you've got to do it.
Dropping 3 F-bombs on live coverage and then not bleeping them from the replay.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Fantastic. Well done. Absolutely fantastic. When they announced that Richo was going to present the cup if we won, I was like, you know what? There is no one... better to epitomize how much Richmond sucked for the last 30 years.
To present the Richmond 37 years of pain is Richo. Because he wore it on his face.
And they started chanting Richo as well as soon as he got announced. And he did the right thing. He got up there, gave him the cup, and then he got out there.
Didn't make it about him.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. And he just posted on Twitter about an hour or so ago just going, shit, it just sunk in.
I feel sorry for his wife and daughter.
Yeah, daughter. Yep.
God damn it.
Because, you know, she was born this year and she's already been trumped.
Yeah. I guarantee you there's another one coming in 9 months. Yeah. 10 months
this, he's like, this is the best weekend of my life, except for 3 weeks ago when my daughter was born. Yeah. All right. I have already said to Megan that I may have cried more this weekend than I will at our wedding in 2 months. So
yeah, well,
I apologize.
One's out of happiness too.
What'd you pay for your ticket?
$295.
So $300.
Yeah,
your wedding's gonna top that.
Looking at my bank account afterwards.
If someone offered you $8,000 for the wedding, you take it.
She's lovely. We love Megan. Yeah. Happy birthday for tomorrow. By the way,
I meant the cost, but $8,000 for replacing you. Man, I'll take that too.
She struggles to listen to you in real life.
That is 100% true.
But like I said, it's just all up and up for Richmond. You know, especially when I feel like when trade week starts is really it's like AFL New Year.
Yeah.
So that's really January 1. It's where everything starts. And Hawthorn have got board upheaval.
Yeah, they do. Got rid of
a board member stepped down. The CEO's been sacked.
Yeah,
it's so nice when it's not Richmond,
isn't it?
It's fantastic. I could watch this all year.
It's bizarro world. Richmond are premiers. Hawthorn's got board trouble.
I'm still waiting for a press release from Football First to say this is our premiership. Like, can we do this? We did something.
Well, they did it a week ago, didn't they? They said, so we played a part.
We did something. Like, didn't say what you did and if it was good, but you did something.
It's a bit like Judas taking credit for the catering at the Last Supper. Like, I did it right.
It was up to me.
It's definitely going to be an interesting week or so this year. Yeah. You know, a lot of big money going to be thrown around, that's for sure.
Well, I think there's going to be some surprise players traded because all the big names were signed. during the year.
It looks like Carlton are going to be the winners. A lot of people requesting going to Carlton.
It is, yeah.
It's amazing. They've got the old busy
really
system up and done.
It really is topsy-turvy this year. Carlton is a destination club. I'm blown away.
It's crazy. The world's gone undone.
Busy sponsorships are back.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
That's on the market.
Yeah, there's a few boxes heading up that way.
Do what you know.
Yeah.
You do you.
Also, a bit of evacuation from Adelaide as well. You've got Trengo from the Crows. You've got Trengo from Port. Yep. Lever from the Crows.
And Archie.
Archie wants to get out of there.
Well, that's the thing. With obviously all these guys wanting to come to Carlton, do you think Gibbs is definitely over to Adelaide?
By the sounds of it, he said he's keen to stay.
Yeah. Might not matter.
Well, now that all of Adelaide's coming to him.
Might not matter.
It's like he's home.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of people wanting to come to Carlton. They're like the new Frio.
The word today was that Lever's already agreed with Melbourne.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a big
contract. I just can't believe Melbourne are getting rid of Watts, to be honest.
Watts has said, I want to stay.
He's got to get out.
Cool story, champ.
Yeah. I believe he's just got to get out. Yeah. I know he said he loves the club and stuff like that, but, mate, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's just you've been too much of the whipping boy there.
Yeah.
You've got to find somewhere else.
Get out of Melbourne.
Maybe. But the worst thing would be if he went to like Gold Coast or Brisbane.
Yeah.
Because you're like, no, you need to go somewhere where they've had success.
Yeah.
And they'll, all the goodwill and the hope that was poured into him will be gone. And he's like, mate, you've got to fucking earn it
here. Yeah. Yeah.
But it started to look that way this year because he was dropped at the start of the year and at the end. So maybe staying at Melbourne's going to be okay. But no.
And are we all excited about Hawthorn's ripping draft picks this year? We're going with the first round pick of 38 or something, is it?
We don't worry about drafts. The drafts is for other clubs. We take him 2 or 3 years in.
He still managed to snag a few little people coming in. Like, he managed to get Tom Mitchell somehow.
Oh, that was last year. That's because we got no fucking draft picks this year.
Yeah, but you still managed to swindle a few little trades that work out their way. And they always get involved in those three-way trades as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do get...
Why do you think we've let our assistant coaches go to every fucking club?
Yeah.
So we could get... Mate, we need something back here. Come on.
Well, the interesting ones are how Ablett gets out of Gold Coast and also how Jack Watts, how they managed to shift him off from Melbourne, I think, are going to be the really interesting ones. They're going to be some pretty involved trades.
I think shifting Jack's going to be a lot easier. Ablett... Motlop has to be part of that trade.
Yeah.
There's just what else goes with it. And, I think Gold Coast nominated, they said, Mitch Duncan would be nice. I'm like, yeah, of course he fucking would.
Yeah.
So are Paddy Dangerfield.
And it was almost like you just want to get the team together and draw the shortest straw. It's like, I got it. Because it's just, it has to be heartbreaking to go from a team like Geelong up to Gold Coast, unless like that's what you wanted to do.
Well, hopefully you get some more money.
Yeah, especially where it's like Abley, like, fuck.
Yeah,
it's almost like
Darcy Lang's like, guys, you can have me or Gary.
It's almost like Kennedy and Judd.
I mean, on a rich perspective, it's
that's all we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think. Well, we've obviously got one first rounder going for our father son for Naish.
Naish.
Yeah, I changed his name. So that one's gone. But other than that, like, I'm pretty comfortable for once going and going. You know what? We've actually got some players we can probably offer some good picks.
There might be some players that, like your Miles.
Yeah. Honestly, I think Miles is a perfect fit for Essendon. With Watson going out, Miles can play that in and under player and the hard body to get the ball out and so they can do something.
But for Tigers, when it comes to draft or even trade, they're going for wants now, not needs.
Well, yeah. I think the first thing we're going to do is decide what our game plan is going to be going into a fresh season. It's not going to be like a plan B or C that's happened to work. Like, do we just stick with our small little forward line and
do you need a mark
have them buzzing around? Yeah.
Do you need a second ruckman?
What do we do? Yeah.
Well, I think we've already got... I think Soldo will be a fine replacement for Nat. He needs another year.
Yep.
The problem I had with Soldo in the games he played is he looks... kind of scared to just hit those packs hard. And he sat back a little too much. It's kind of like you play basketball against guys who were 12 feet tall from the time they were 10. And they just forget that they actually can jump. And they go, I don't need to jump. But now that he's in with the bigger bodies, he actually needs to jump.
Yeah,
I think for us, we need to definitely start thinking about a Jack's succession plan.
Is he 29?
Probably up there.
Because I know there was no player over 30 for...
Yeah, Maric was the only one.
Yeah.
And obviously,
he didn't play all year.
He stuck around so that we could develop
Solder. Yeah.
That's pretty much
it. He stuck around and went, mate, we need to fill the cap.
Like, everyone's too scared to sack him.
we've still got Hampson. I mean, Hampson obviously had issues with his back this year, but he's sticking around. And
I wouldn't put too much stock in Hampson purely for that. I like him as a player.
He's there as a backup. If Nank happens to die, and he'll do.
Let's not talk down Grigg.
Well, actually, that's a question. It came up a week ago. Is what's going to happen with that, with the Grigg situation? Are we going to keep utilizing that? How are teams going to punish that?
Yep.
And I think you made the comment about it took Jacobs half the game to realize that
three quarters.
He could just punch the ball forward, and because he kept dropping it at the feet, and
there was a contest.
Yeah, and I really liked Dusty's Jack Dyer medal speech. Just got released today from last night, and he comes out and he goes, "Oh, got a lot of people to thank. Probably firstly Sean Grigg, because you tapped the ball down my throat a couple of times this year. It helped a bit." I love that. He's really getting into it.
You have to keep him in that side, because you force the other team to game plan for that situation happening.
Well, they're going to have to change it up next year, because now surely people are going to go, okay, Grigg's in the ruck, now's our chance.
Rather than
having a contest here, why don't we have a contest 20 metres down after our 6'10" ruckman thumps it there?
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd hope that AFL players would figure that out for themselves, but apparently they don't.
One thing that really breaks my heart is that we can't find a spot for Sam Lloyd in the A-team. I think he's a player that really deserves to play A's, but he doesn't fit a game plan as a forward line player who doesn't have that pressure.
And that's the problem. He's been dominating the VFL, but as a midfielder.
Yeah.
But he's not going to fit into our midfield. If Miles isn't getting a game in our midfield, Lloyd's not.
That's the thing. It's not best for us, but I want to see him traded because I want to see him play AFL. I really like the guy, and I think he deserves to be playing A's.
It might be just that he is the 23rd man, and, mate, you can play back. You can play forward, you go in the middle. It maybe is one of those, we're just going to use you as utility to plug a gap.
But that's where Lambert, I think, has really stepped up this year. He's been that just, I'm going to run everywhere role.
He's one of those underrated players, I think.
That's all it was with Lloyd, though. I mean, it was...
He did get fifth in the Jack Dyer...
Fifth, medal. Did he?
Yeah, he got up with fifth.
Damn.
So, Lambert. With Lloyd, he didn't do anything wrong. He was waiting for somebody else to either get injured or drop form.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Lambert was third. Grimes, really? Grimes got fifth. Yeah, damn. Yeah. It was Dusty, Rance, Lambert, Koch, Grimes.
Yeah, Koch fourth. Well,
I'm glad Dusty got the Jack Dyer medal, because he's been struggling for a bit of recognition.
He's. I think he must be running out of speeches by now, to be honest.
I think he ran out for the first one.
He was looking fucking dusty on Sunday. I tell you what, I've seen those videos. Holy shit! Straight from Swanee's house. I'm amazed Swanee didn't dose him up just to get him up and ready for the fucking family day.
Hey, he probably did. That's as best as.
He was heading straight back there afterwards, I'm sure.
Beyond that, you mentioned that with Asada, do you reckon they do go, okay, it's the grand final week, let's just leave it off this one?
I reckon, even if they did rock up, they wouldn't have gotten shit, nothing. I reckon there might have been a couple of people on the door be like, nope,
no, but that's Dustin is not here. That's why everyone's in costume today, so they don't actually know who they're testing.
And I think that's why we're leading the leaderboard in fines for not letting Asada know where we are.
Fuck it, we'll play him.
Well, Brandon Ellis was dressed as Dusty if he had gone to North, so maybe they would have tested him.
Brilliant, wouldn't it? I thought that was great.
I also loved... almost looked like Koch actually shaved Ralph Carr's head and put it on his hair. It was a perfect wig.
On the Koch, I was actually sitting watching, obviously, the Killers concert afterwards, and I hope it's not just me, but Brandon Flowers looks like the love child of Koch and Rance.
Yes, he does.
It's like the Rance face and the Koch and haircut. It was perfect. Yep. It was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I completely agree. Seeing Jack dress up in today. Oh my God.
Oh, that would have been the easiest to pick costume in the history career that Jack was going to
do. It could have actually been Brendan Flowers' costume.
You never know. All right, we've got to wrap this up. We've got to get out. And next week we'll talk more about Trade Week and, Hodge going to Brisbane. Anyway, Richie, thanks for coming in.
No worries. It's good to celebrate.
You got to see a Richmond flag in your life.
Finally.
Unbelievable.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Neither did I. Not for a long time.
But hey, Bulldogs 1 year, Richmond the next.
Crazy. It's a crazy
world. Honestly, it'll be Carlton next year and then we'll all be dead.
It's a crazy world.
It's not going to be Carlton. Let's not get
not again.
All right, see you later.
Catch up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.